Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together as we gather around the Word of God. I'm coming to you from the lighthouse. It's a Wednesday morning, and it's early. It's 6 o'clock. But I need to tell you, the lake is really beautiful, nice and calm out here in front of the lighthouse. It's not a wave in it. I can see across the lake, the trees in the water from the other side of the lake. But I'm over here early because they're going to resurface Long Lake Road here, and they're going to start. And I see the truck coming about 6 o'clock. They got one of those big old machines that grinds up about 2 inches or better of the road, you know, and I know it's going to be noisy, so I'm trying to trust in the Lord that I'll get this done before they get to my house. So that's why I'm over here early this morning. You tune me in by the way of WDLB 93.1 building at 7 o'clock. And we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others tune me in by the way of Ionia, WIONI 1430 AM. Or 92.7 FM over in the lower area, 100.3 FM, and we're glad to have them being a part of our time together. And also others tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we now stream both of these stations by the way of the web. And that's pretty special because it goes all over the world. And that's something that I would never have thought I would ever be a part of. But that's kind of great to be able to do that. Others tune me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. Some of you are listening by the way of my website. My website, if you want to do that, is Pastor Ken Harger. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse. You will see Current Media show up, and you click on Current Media, and the top message is the one for today. Well, that takes care of that part of the things that I need to do each and every morning, and I enjoy doing it because I enjoy welcoming you to our broadcast time together. Now I need to say thank you to those that help us with the financial part of our broadcast. So a big thank you to Bill and Judy Hammond from Belding. A big thank you to Doug and Noreen Lane family from Sheridan. And a big thank you to Gloria Spencer in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname. And she is from Orleans. And Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years and still attend there. I told them last week we gathered for the first time in a long time. And we had a nice attendance. It turned out very well. And, you know, I told them I've been coming to that church 62 years. I was missing 63 years, I should say. No, 62. We've been married 63. Sometime I get them married, mixed up, my marriage and how long I've been attending Shiloh. But anyway, at Shiloh Church and in the community of Shiloh, weekend of services this coming Sunday, Saturday, will be Saturday evening at 6:30. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, contemporary service at 10:45. In our Greenville campus, they met outdoors outside of the church, and that worked out good. They're hoping to do that again this week. And that service is at the Old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street. And that service starts at 11 o'clock. A big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out my music. She's been so faithful in doing that. And I have so appreciated that so much. Well, let's get ready for our message this morning. The message, we are to walk by faith. But first, I need to say this. Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads that's tuned in. I trust you're special, have a special blessing, and I trust that this will be a special day for you. And in honor of the fathers, I want to kind of talk about Not being a dad, but the idea of faith. The idea that faith is so important. And we're going to talk about we are to have faith and works. And you know, the Bible tells us in the book of James, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith with works. And so we realize that that goes together. And I want to address that this morning to hide how that goes together. And I'll keep every now and then reminding dads that we need that. And I'll be reminding each one of us that we need that in our life. But Dad, have a celebration today and trust that God will be with you in a very special way. The song that I have for this morning is called Out of His Great Love That God Has For Us. He's done some beautiful things to help us along our way in this idea of encouragement of what faith can do and why it is so important to have faith. This song begins, so when I push the button, it starts right out. So we're going to listen, and I'll be right back in just a moment.
Out of His great love, He picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love. Out of His great love, He picked me up, set my feet on a sturdy rock. Out of His great love, I've learned the meaning of salvation. Out of His great love.
Well, I trust that's got you going this morning as we gather around the Word of God and learn some things that's going to be beneficial for each one of our lives. But before I do, I want to remember all dads this morning, but I also want to especially remember all the dads that's listening in this morning, God's richest blessing. I love to pray for our listening audience and what God can do in their life and whatever they might be needing as far as encouragement or all the rest of it is concerned. So let's just bow together for a moment. Father, as we come into your presence, we bow before you and we thank you for this beautiful morning that I'm putting this broadcast together. Praying we'll get it done before they get up here with their heavy equipment and noisemaker that they'll be doing. And I pray, Father, that you just bless the listening audience this morning. I thank you for every person that tuned the dial into whatever station they're listening to and got the broadcast on today. I thank you for the stations that are willing to carry my broadcast, and I ask your special blessing to be upon each one of the stations. And now, Father, when we think about the listening audience, I'm thinking about the different things they may be going through. Some may be having financial problems. Others may be having physical problems. Some may be having spiritual problems. This idea of what all we've been going through these months is getting to them, and they're tired of it. And, Father, they need a sense of relief, so to speak. whatever it is the listening audience is going through this morning, I pray that you would be pleased to bless in a special way. I want to pray for every dad, that you bless them today. I want to pray for the fatherhood of our America, that you might just lead and direct the dads. As we're talking about faith and works, it's pretty easy for dad to do works. But Father, we need dads that's got faith. Faith in this one Jesus to teach their children and to show their children that they believe in him. So I pray this morning that you would speak to the hearts of the dads in a very special way. And you would minister to each one of them, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, as you join me this morning, if you're a dad, happy Father's Day to each one of you today. You know, I believe the what we're talking about this morning, faith and works. We're to walk by faith, and we're to walk by works. As I mentioned in the book of James, he says, "You show me your faith apart from works, and I'll show you my faith by the works that I do." The idea to walk in faith, the idea to walk in doing good works to help others, means that there's some movement in your life. Got to be honest with you, you know, when you get to be 85, walking isn't quite as easy as it used to be. Can't do the distance I used to do because my feet give me a lot of trouble. But you know what? He said there got to be some action in your life of both faith and works, which is the foundation of the Christian life. It's what Jesus come to teach us. It's what Jesus illustrated for us in his life on planet Earth. He showed us the necessity of having faith in God. But as a result of that faith in God, he showed us the works he could do. Now, he could do greater works than you and I by healing the blind and causing the lame to walk and helping those that were paralyzed not to be paralyzed anymore. That would have been wonderful to be with him. But you know, the Father tells us that what he has done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, is a realization that because of his great love. And mainly he tells us it's not only his love, but his kindness and his mercy. I can't think of a dad alive that doesn't need love and kindness and mercy. I wish I had memories of my stepdad's kindness and love and mercy, but I don't have that. And you know, that's missing in your childhood or life. So Dad, this morning, to be like the Heavenly Father, he's reminding us the Heavenly Father's got love. He's got kindness, and he's got mercy. And by the way, he's more powerful than you, and yet he expresses himself in love and in kindness and in mercy. I love this thought about kindness in the book of Romans chapter 2. Do you have contempt for God, who is very kind to you, puts up with you, deals patiently with you? Don't you realize that it is God's kindness that is trying to lead you to him and kind of get you to repent and change the way you think and the way you act? It's God's kindness that he reaches out to each one of us. It's God's love that he reaches us. It's God's mercy. In the book of Titus, he said something along that same line. After all, God's saving kindness has appeared for the benefit of all people. God's saving kindness has appeared, and it's to benefit everyone, all people. God's kindness trains us to avoid ungodly lives filled with worldly desires so we can live self-controlled, moral, godly lives in this present world. Just don't need to go along with the world and all that it does. He said, you're going to be trained by God's kindness to do something different than that. At the same time, we can expect what we hope for. the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. He gave himself for us to set us free from every sin and to cleanse us so that we can be his special people who are enthusiastic about doing good things. I love that idea. Sometimes it's talked about eagerness to do good things. And dads, we need that from you, but we need it from everybody. God's saying that's a part of walking by faith and works, is to express the kindness and the love and the mercy of God. It is God, our Heavenly Father's kindness, that he wants to use to bring us to a place of repentance so we'll know how to change our lives to act and think the way God would have us act and think. At the same time, God shares his kindness that has appeared in the person of Jesus. And we see his kindness as we study his life. And his kindness surely did reach out to everybody. And his kindness surely was a benefit to the people of his day. He gave himself to set us free. And because of that, now he says, I want you to be enthusiastic about doing good things. You know, sometimes I've heard people brag about some things that I wouldn't want to brag about that they did. I think, you know what? We ought to be able to brag about things that we did that were good, things that was beneficial, things that brought glory to God, and things that brought some help to other people. We need to realize we're living not only with one epidemic, but we're living with the idea there's a lot of unrest in America today. There's changes that need to be made, and there's changes that will be made, I trust, in the future. But we can't give up the idea that we need laws and we need law enforcement. Did you hear what God just said a few moments ago? He wants you to be his special people. His special people. Of all the people on planet Earth, he's saying, Christians, I want you to be my special people. I want you to be enthusiastic about doing good to help other people. These goods that we can do will bring about some great things in our lives and the lives of others. I need to pause here and remind you, this is not to earn your salvation. This is because you have salvation, because you've come to believe in this one Jesus. He wants you now to walk in faith. We understand that part pretty good. But he's saying at the same time, if you have faith in Jesus, I want you to be producing good works. Because the salvation that you and I have received isn't anything of us. One of the best verses that I like for describing that is found in Ephesians chapter 2. God saved us through faith as an act of kindness. You had nothing to do with it. Being saved is a gift from God. It's not the result of anything you've done. No one can brag about it. God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that he has prepared for us to do. You know what? We need to understand God wants us to do good works because of salvation. Not to earn your salvation, you can't do it. You know what Jesus is asking us to do? I found this little picture and it says, help me to walk in your footsteps. Help me to walk in your footsteps. Jesus wants us to walk as he walked on this planet Earth. And he was full of kindness, and he was full of love. And that kindness was reaching out to be a benefit to other people. You know, this is something that all dads need, and this is something that we all need as a Christian. But you know what? In order for this to happen, we got to stay connected to the source of faith. We got to stay connected to the source of why we do these good works. We have two illustrations about this in God's Word. And the one I've spoken on before, so I won't spend a lot of time about it, but it's my favorite. Jesus talking in the book of John, chapter 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. Say that with me. I am the vine, Jesus said, you are the branches. Good to be a branch on the vine of the Lord Jesus. Those who live in me are now living them, will produce a lot of fruit. Now here the idea of works is talking about fruit coming from your life. But you can't produce anything without me. Whoever doesn't live in me is thrown away like a branch that dries up. Branches like those are gathered up, as I've been doing, and one of these days we're going to have a bonfire and burn them. If you live in me, what I say lives in you. Then you ask for anything you want, and it'll be yours. You give glory to my Father. Did you get this? You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit. Therefore, show that you are my disciples. I like that last statement. God wants us to be fruitful. And the more fruit that comes from your life and my life, the more glory he brings to God. Matter of fact, when Jesus started that, he says, my Father's the gardener. He said, he trims the branches that don't bring much fruit, so it'll bring more fruit, for more fruit. God talking about fruit, and he's talking about some fruit, and he's talking about much fruit. And God wants much fruit of kindness from our lives as we reach out to be a help to others. Now, the one that I think that maybe men would understand a little better, if they have desires like I do to do some work in building. I love to be building. I remodeled our home. I've just been working on my fence that was out. It got all stained up because my well is deep, and when I use irrigation and my well, that there, it's got iron on it. And so it was a tough job cleaning up that fence to make it be white again. And I'm so glad I got that job done, but I'm not totally done with it because I have a few more to clean up. But anyway, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he says, we are God's co-workers. He says another way he expresses it, you are God's field, but you're God's building. As a skilled and experienced builder, I use the gifts that God gave to me to lay the foundation of that building. However, somebody else is building on it. Each person must be careful how he builds on it. After all, no one can lay any other foundation that's been laid than that of Jesus Christ. That's the best foundation, he's saying. And that foundation has been laid. And that's the foundation Paul was building upon. And Paul said, I took the gifts that God gave me, and I built the best that I was possibly able to do of that foundation, on that foundation. You know, that's what God's asking us to do. And men, we kind of like building things. I'm so glad. I'm hoping to get up to my cabin this week, maybe one day. But you know, we built that cabin. We added on to that cabin. And we built and remodeled the part that was there. And every time I go there, I can relive that experience because a lot of fellas and gals from church came and helped me. And I can remember the projects that each one of them did. And that was something, that's something very special to me. To realize that when you work together, when I think about Shiloh Church, you know, we hired a main carpenter, but most of the work was done on volunteer help. We had hours and hours of volunteer help building that building for God's glory. That's what he's saying he wants us to do. He wants us to build something. And Dad, this is where you come into. You are building into your children's lives. What are you building? What are you adding into your father, into your children's lives as a dad? You know, this is speaking about you and I being connected to Jesus. and being a part of his building project. Being connected to Jesus for the past, the present, and the future as we help to build the kingdom of God. We're building upon the foundation that is the best that could possibly be laid. And that's the foundation of the Lord Jesus. I just thought of this story and I want to insert it here. I love the simplicity of the teaching of Jesus. And I believe he could be saying to each dad today, fathers, dads, don't build your house on the sand. Build your house on a solid rock. Build your home on a solid rock. Because there's going to be storms that come. Dad, your children are going to go through storms and they're going to need you. And so build it on a solid rock. And when the storms come and beat upon it, it'll stand firm. But he who builds his life on the sand, when the storms come and beat upon it, it shall fall. And great will be the fall and the destruction of it. We want our families to stand. And Dad, I believe a lot of it rests upon you as a father. This is speaking about staying connected to Jesus as we add to the kingdom of God. Another place he says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that the Lord you will receive a reward from him, and knowing that you are serving the Lord as you raise your family. That's pretty special. And God wants us to know that. We're to build on that foundation, that solid foundation of life. And some of that is the things that we'll do. I want to talk about a couple things that we need to do to be able to do that. But before we do, I think we'll listen to this song, give my voice a little break. I'm doing a little better this morning, and I'm glad for that. But you know something? This song is what I like. It's a story song. It's talking about one reaching out and helping another. And then when the answer comes, why would you do that? And you know, the answer to that question is, wouldn't you do it for me? Wouldn't you do it for me? You know, the simple golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And God is reminding us that that's exactly what we're able to do for one another. Let's listen to this song. It's all about a little boy helping somebody else out. And I think this song has got a good message for each one of us. And this message is that we need to reach out and help others. I'll be right back in just a few moments.
He's half in his sandwich, his chips and baby Ruth, putting them back in the sack his mama packed with a sticker that says Jesus loves you. He's jumping off the bus, running in the house, talking to mom about his day, hiding that paper sack in a baseball glove, riding his bike straight to the freeway, where there's an old man with a shopping cart, dirty face and a purple heart, saying, son, you never know how much this means. Boy says, wouldn't you do this for me if I were reaching out to you? Wouldn't you give me food to eat if I were hungry too? Tonight that little boy's dad is flying down the freeway. It's pouring rain as he leaves the road. He's rolling down that concrete bank through the flames and the broken glass. An old man takes his hand, finds a cell phone on the back seat. He's saying, get here fast as you can. Now the bomb that lives beneath the bridge pulls him safely from that flooding ditch. Man, that's why'd you risk your life to save mine? He said, wouldn't you do this for me if I were reaching out to you? Wouldn't you try to save my life if I needed you to? Wouldn't you do this for me? Now he's laying in that hospital bed, praying a silent prayer. And I can't help but ask him, Lord, did you put that beggar there? As a nurse pulls back the curtains, all they can see is the billboard sign, a 60-foot Jesus hanging on the cross. At the bottom, just one line. Wouldn't you do this for me?
That is sure a question we each need to answer. Wouldn't you do it for me? Reaching out to help somebody else. Knowing that somebody was hungry. You reach out to help with the question, wouldn't you do it for me? Reaching out when somebody is hurting. To be whatever help you can be. Wouldn't you do it for me? Reaching out to somebody who's sick and make a visit. Wouldn't you do it for me? That's what God's asking today. And he's not just asking it of dads. He's asking that of all of us as Christians. Wouldn't you do it for me? You know what the Lord Jesus said one day? If you would give a glass of water to one of the least of these my children, you did it as unto me. We need to realize God is saying, you can't just have faith in me. You just can't say, hey, I'm glad for the salvation. I'm glad that the Lord loves me and cares for me. I'm glad that he showed his kindness to me. He's saying, no, it's not just faith. It's not just faith. It's works. It's fruit. It's things your life and my life is to produce to help others. And that's so vital. What is necessary if I want to try to help somebody else? What is necessary for me to do? Or how can I come to the place that I would do it to help somebody else? Just because I have faith in this one Jesus. He wants some fruit from your life. In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, then Jesus said to his disciples, those who want to come with me must say no to things they want. Need to pick up your cross and follow me. Those who want to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their lives for me will find them. What good is it if people were to win the whole world and lose the purpose of their life? Well, what will a person give in exchange for his life? The Son of Man came with angels in the Father's glory. Then he'll pay you back, each person based upon what that person has done. God's going to give rewards for the thing that we does do for him, but we don't do it for the rewards. You know what he's saying? You do it because you realize that you're not just taking charge of your life and saying, I'm only going to live for me, myself, and I. Nobody will do anything else for anybody else who only lives for me, myself, and I. You know what you got to be, folks? I want you to get this word. It's so important. You need to be available. Available to God to use you in helping somebody else. We need to be available with what we have. God is not asking you to do that which you're unable to do. Well, whoever God calls to do things, he equips them to do what he calls them to do. That's what Paul said. I've done the best with the gifts I had. Now, you got some gifts. I got some gifts. And God says, I want you to reach out with those gifts and do the very best that you're capable of doing because you're available. It has to come within our lives, within ourselves as individuals. To say, I don't really want to have control of my life. I want to allow God to do what he wants to do in my life. Make yourself available to him, for him to use you in the simplest ways to be a help to somebody else. I need to reflect. I don't know what word I want to use. I just want to share from my own life. When I asked Jesus into my life, I was about 17. About 18, my Sunday school teacher got me the privilege of going to Christian youth training camp at Gull Lake. They said normally they don't take 18 years old, but I turned 18 in February, and the Sunday school teacher convinced the person she was talking to that it would really be good for me, and it was. I went to Christian youth training camp. Never had been a part of anything like that before in my life. When I got there, there was about 75 or whatever it was, young people there. And I thought, man, everybody must believe in Jesus like I do. And it was good. We was learning Bible verses. We was singing songs. I was having a good time. You know, something that happened there was one of the first things that I ever had in my life that was positive. I'd been told by my stepdad I'd never amount to anything. And there at that camp, I didn't know that I was doing anything any different than anybody else. I did try to help when they needed some help. But my mom had already taught us that kind of stuff. But you know what? They chose me to be the camper of the week. And man, I got to tell you, I was so shocked and I was so excited to be the camper of the week. But on Friday night, they had a bonfire. And as the bonfire was going pretty good, then they had a little message and they told us we needed to release control of our life to Jesus and let him control our life. And so they gave us a piece of wood. I don't know what kind of wood it was, but it burned up real quickly. They said, just throw it in the fire and watch it burn. And that's the ending of you being in charge of your life and letting God take over in your life. That was a beautiful experience for me. That changed my life. Then when I became pastor at Shiloh Church, I was wanting to be a person that was organized. So I lay out my calendar for the week to do the things I needed to get done that week. Because when I first came there as pastor, I was working 6 days a week on the milk route. And so we got started as being the pastor. And as that time went on, pretty soon I'd have my calendar all laid out, and then there would be a telephone call. They needed me for a funeral, or somebody was sick and going to the hospital. And it meant I had to change my plans. I struggled with that until I remembered the idea of what Jesus is telling us. You want to keep your life for yourself? if you give your life to me. It was almost like he was saying to me, let me line up the things I want for you to do. Don't you? You're not able to line up all the pastoral duties that I have that I want you to perform. You're not able to keep up with that on your own. And so, you know, it frustrated me at first. I had my plans, and I don't know why I did that, but at first I was putting in my calendar I had in ink. So I got a pencil with an eraser. And when the call came and I had to change this plan, I just erased it from there and put the plan that I had on the next day or a couple of days later or whatever I could work it. And I did what I was supposed to do. You know what, folks? That's what we need to do. We need to be available. And when God lays something on our heart that we can do, we need to do it. That's faith, and that's works, working together. It's like an oars on a rowboat. One of the oars is faith, and one of the oars is works, and they work good together. But if you only have faith, you go in circles one way. And if you only have works, you go in circles the other way. And dads, what we need is faith and works working together to row the boat where we want it to go and where I believe God would want it to go. The second thing that I want to talk about is being vulnerable. Vulnerability is being a lost thing of our day and age. I love the Lord Jesus' vulnerability, even to come into this world and become one of us. But one day when Jesus was preaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, he said, but I tell everyone who is listening, I like the way he did that. Sometimes he said, if you have ears to hear, then hear what I'm saying. I like that sense of humor. I'm telling everyone this morning who is listening, love your enemies. Be kind to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who insult you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek as well. If someone takes your coat, don't stop him from taking your shirt. Give to everyone who asks for you for something. If someone takes what is yours, don't insist on getting it back. Do for other people everything that you want them to do for you. Now listen to what he says, because that first part talks about vulnerability. How, unless you're vulnerable, can you bless those who curse you? Can you love your enemies? Can you be kind to those who hate you? He's saying that takes vulnerability. But now listen to what he goes on to say. If you help those who help you, how do you receive, do you deserve any thanks for that? Sinners do that too. If you lend to those whom you expect to get something back, do you deserve any thanks for that? Your enemies help them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. He says, you know what? Sinners do that kind of stuff. When they, I'll give to you a one hand washes the other hand kind of thing, they say. Now listen to what God says. If you will be vulnerable, then you will have a great reward. The reward is going to be this. You will be children of the Most High God. You'll be demonstrating what God is like. You'll be demonstrating the life of the Lord Jesus. Now listen to this. After all, he is kind to the unthankful and to evil people. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. And I believe we can say, be kind as your Father is kind. When you think Jesus lived 2,000 years ago and was right on for what he was saying, if you love those who love you, if you help those who help you, what good is that? Even sinners do that. But he's saying, I want you to reach out in vulnerability to those that even have hurt you. Reach out to them. I believe we're going to feel very uncomfortable to try to do that. We need to learn how to deal with that discomfort, because it'll make you into a better person as you reach out to others. It'll make you like God. We love our enemies, do good to them that hate us, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. It'll be like the Lord Jesus and like our Heavenly Father. And that's what He wants from my life. And that's what He wants from your life. Be vulnerable. Oh, I know you might say to me, Pastor, I was vulnerable once and I got really hurt. Don't let that person control your life the rest of your life. When you want to just take control of your life and say, I'm not reaching out to them people. I'm not having nothing to do with them people. They've treated me that way, and I'm done. Well, it's okay to be done. But it's not okay to let them be in charge of your life. There might be somebody else down the road that you might be the only one that could reach out and be a help to them. Be vulnerable. And the last word I want to share with you, be usable. God reminds us in the book of Titus, His grace has appeared, salvation to all people. The grace instructs us to give up ungodly living and world passion, to live self-controlled lives, upright and godly lives in this world, and to wait for the Lord Jesus to come. But he goes on to say, as I did before, it was enthusiastic. He's going on to say, be eager to do good works. This salvation God has offered to everyone. I believe one of the best work ethics we could have to bring glory to God will be when we receive from Him, we want to help others the same way that we have been helped. We want to reach out to somebody else's life. In the book of Philippians, it describes the Lord Jesus. And I love this description of the Lord Jesus. Whatever would allow him, or why would he be willing to leave heaven and all the glory he had with the Father, to come down here and planet earth and do what he did, as he did the Father's work? Listen to this from the book of Philippians. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of this equality. You know what, folks? Jesus was the second person of the Trinity, and he was equal with God the Father. Listen to what it says. Instead, he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant. Jesus emptied himself. The Bible doesn't tell us how he did that, but we have the way he did it is given to us. He emptied himself and took upon the form of a servant by becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance. You know what he did? Was he was born a baby. There in Bethlehem. He took upon himself human flesh. Even though he was equal with the Father. And he is willing to become a servant. And then as his life went on, it describes it in this way, what he did. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even that awful death on the cross. That's how much he loved you. That's how much he loved me. It goes on to say, this is why God has given him an exceptional honor. The name honor above all names, so that all at the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and earth and the world below will kneel and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what? He's reminding us of all that Jesus humbled himself for you and I in order to reach out to us. And that's why I'm saying to dads and saying to us as Christians today, we need to reach out to others. I know we've been talking about that, and but I know what I know? I know that there's somebody, when you think about it, making yourself available and vulnerable and want to be usable of God, I know that God will bring somebody to your mind this week that you can be a help to. And I got to tell you, folks, when you help somebody else, it helps you actually more than it does when you help somebody else. But it's your attitude that we need. We need the attitude of the Lord Jesus. Even though he was equal with the Father, he was willing to become a servant to others. And that's exactly what he did with his life. My time is getting to a place where we got to go on. I got a song that says, "Just Ask." Don't just take it from me. The Bible is reminding us that there's been many other people that have trusted in this God and did good works for this God. And we need to know that that's what we need to do as well. So this song will say, just ask God. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share with you. Have a good week.
To your question, but don't trust my opinion alone. You should ask the host of others, sisters and brothers who've been there, and their stories live on.
Just ask the woman. His arms reach back to help them, and he's able to do the same.